I just got a tape today and a letter. And I must say, the tape riled me to some degree. I can't believe what's happening with David and Mary. I just can't even see that. That really blows my mind. Here I am, madly in love with my wife, 3,000 miles away for a whole solid year. And here's that lucky bastard, back there in the world, safe and sound with his. And, well, you know the rest. I tell you, that does, I used to think a lot of David. I thought basically he was all right, just maybe a little misguided. But, wow. I tell you, I've learned one thing over here, and that is that life is fragile, very, very fragile, and dear only to those who love it. If it's, I don't know. I learned a lot about life over here, I guess, but it really blows my mind to think that here he is throwing his and Mary's down the drain. Right now, Mary could end up just exactly like Aunt Pat, or she could end up very happy, I would think. I don't know. People's lives are so easily ruined that, you have to work to stay out of trouble, and you have to work to stay straight. And you have to work to stay alive. Over here you do anyway. And then people who just really abuse what they have. They may think they don't have much. They don't have money. We've got money. But what have we got? Yeah. So we haven't got each other. I guarantee you we got plenty of money. And I've got more money right now than I've ever had before in my life, and I'm probably more unhappy now than I ever have been before in my life. Well, David, he's not even immature. He's criminal. That's... Well... I had hoped that David would be spared the harsh realities of the army, but now I hope they get him and get him quick. It used to really bother me for people to wish somebody else had ended up. That was just one notch above being in prison. And it is, it really is, just one notch. The only difference is when you get out of prison, there's a stigma. When you get out of the army, I suppose a matter of pride, of accomplishment, maybe. Yeah, I hope the army gets David. I hope they send him over here. I hope they make him a grunt. I hope they make him sweat every night he closes his eyes to go to sleep, wondering whether he's going to get it that night. Yeah, he'd appreciate a woman a lot more. He'd appreciate a lot of things a lot more. Like being able to walk outside, go to a movie, or buy a hamburger, go for a ride in a car, without having to crawl over every last nut and bolt because his life depends on it, before he gets in and cranks it up and flies away. Yeah, I wish that had happened to him. It'd make or break him, I guarantee. I think it would make him. But if it broke him, it wouldn't be any great loss. Let him sit over here and think about that mortar out there, that goose dropping down the tube with your name on it. Watch your buddies go bursting into a big ball of flames 200 feet in the air, screaming all the way down. Yeah, screaming so loud that they're not even drowned out by the sound of a turbine engine. Yeah, it'd make or break him, all right. I don't think it's going to break me. It's scaring the hell out of me, but it's not going to break me. I'll be a different person when I get back. Not warped or anything like that, but much more appreciative of things that I used to take for granted. A little less starry-eyed, a little more realistic, but much more appreciative. This war is pretty senseless, but then the world is full of senseless people, so what can you expect, a sensible war? Think about it, there's really no such animal. Yeah, if you find David playing this tape, he thinks he's had a rough life so far. He got a second chance. The sorry bastard's walking all over it. Tell you, the biggest rap I ever got pulled into court for was 40 and a 30, 60 and a 70, or 70 and a 60, or something like that. But I've done enough that I could have gotten sent up for a lot longer, I suppose. Either I was lucky or smart or something. I was lucky I didn't get caught, and I was smart I haven't done it since. The world is really a cruel place, and to live as sheltered as you people in the United States do. the world is really still a jungle. Still a jungle. Every morning we get up, crank up our birds and go fly, and I look out there at that ground. I look down at that and I say, that ground could belong to me. If I didn't ever have to sleep and could never turn my back. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that this war is purposeful, legitimate, clean, honorable. Anything you want to associate with it, but it educates the people that are exposed to it. We veterans have found out that uh, You still have to fight. You have to fight. It's, I don't know. I'm really in a riled up mood tonight for some reason. A bad way to start off a tape. But, but I don't know, after listening to David, chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, and he knows what he needs to do to get things rolling. My father has given him more than he ever gave me. I don't, till now I didn't even feel jealous. I thought kind of glad to see that my old man was not being so tough on him. Yeah, that's right. My father's given David more than he gave me, I tell you. On the verge of giving him a car, I guarantee you, Dad never even came close to doing that for me. Or a motorcycle. Or a bicycle, for that matter. My first bicycle I saved up when I was about 7 years old, $24, and bought my very own first bicycle. I will say this for Dad, though. He did buy me my first power lawnmower. Of course, I didn't have a lawn then, and he did, but got me started into a lot of things. David better straighten up and fly right. I still got a lot of hopes for him. I think I like him, but goddamn, if he doesn't straighten up, man, he's gonna get up the write-off from me, I tell you. I actually had a pretty good day today, outside of, flying 10.5 hours, flew Chuck Chuck, 2nd of the 12th, LZ Snuffy. The war is really speeding up over here in terms of enemy surrenders. Chuhoys rally over, give ups. They come over and sell their Vietnamese weapons and what have you. Yesterday at Snuffy, they had 89 Chuhoys. VC and wives and children and NVA. Today, they had 75. And last week they had a total of about 128. I figure this is due probably. This is due probably to extensive saturation B-52 bombing that has been going on out there. They've dropped, I'd say, in the neighborhood of 1,000 bombs out there in the last 2 weeks. And for every bomb they've dropped, I wouldn't go so far as to say for every bomb they've dropped, they've gotten one guy to surrender. But they've come close to it. They've got, I've been around 600 surrender out in that area. I mean, that's as good as killing them, actually. Even though a lot of them are women and children. See, the VC take their families with them. They're not barbarians all the way. So the war seems to be going pretty good as far as military standpoint. According to all the newspapers and magazines, it's over, but I guarantee you it isn't. Oh, speaking of war, your little hubby, yours truly, drew first blood in Vietnam today. Yep. Sure did. Got my arm all bandaged up and everything now. Are you in tears yet? No, they won't send me home either. And I won't get a Purple Heart either. Yeah. You know what happened? Guess. Go ahead, guess. I slipped and fell out of my helicopter while I was sitting on the ground. Yep. That's what happened, all right, you know. Accidents start at the home, you know. John Glenn slips in the bathtub, you know, the astronaut. Well, Richard Crane, the pilot, fell out of his armor-plated bucket seat, landed on a skid, and scratched his arm from his elbow to his shoulder. How do you like that? As a matter of fact, I'm even grounded for tomorrow because of it. It didn't ground me for the remaining 5 hours I flew today, though, dripping. But, it's just kind of funny the way things happen over here, I guess. It was raining, and I'd tracked mud all over the floor of the aircraft, and it was good and slick, and the aircraft didn't have any doors on it anyway. And I was climbing out, chicken plate and helmet and gun and knife and survival vest, the whole routine, you know. Yep, and I slipped and fell and landed on the step that's right there on the skid, ripping my arm from elbow to shoulder. Ripping it, scratching it slightly. Well, anyway, what do you think about that? Well, anyway, yeah, we were sitting on the ground. As a matter of fact, the motor wasn't even running at the time. So, you can go out and tell all your friends I fell out of a helicopter now. No, see, getting out of the helicopter is a very delicate operation because you don't want to bump the controls or anything. Because you get in the habit of not bumping them when it's running. You just get in the habit of never touching them, even when it's not running, you know. And that makes maneuvering around the cockpit a little difficult. So, crash, bang. Call me Crash Crane. Well, anyway, let's see. Oh, yeah, one other thing happened today, too. Ran into good old Roger Grimes, who's stationed out at Phuc Vinh. I met him out at Song Bay. He was flying yellow, too. He's in the same battalion we are. I'm in A Company, and Roger Grimes is in B Company. Both in the 227th Battalion, the 11th Group, 1st Cav, all the way. He's his same old self. It was really neat. These are his exact words. He said, well, how's everything going? Oh, fine. How's your wife? Well, getting fucked by everybody in the neighborhood. Roger's really amazing. He's so quiet and nonchalant and doesn't give a damn. Every time his wife gets pregnant, he goes to Vietnam. What a system. Well, I don't know. People are funny. It's really nice. Not one of us, one of us close buddies, you know, me or Charlie or Roger or anybody I knew really close, you know, has gotten zapped over here yet. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we're all going to make it. I'm not too worried about me anymore. I used to really be worried, but I'm not now because A Company is pretty sharp. I'm not really worried about Roger because he's doing exactly the same thing I am. I don't know about barons. 101st is a rowdy outfit, just like the calf. I haven't heard from him. I don't know. Charlie, I worry about Charlie. 1st of the 9th is a bad outfit. They really get chopped up regularly. But that's mainly their loach pilots, I guess. So I don't know. So far, so good. But I don't want you to let any rumors get started around Culpeper that the Vietnam War is over, please. It's really getting bad. I pick up all these magazines and newspapers and stuff. We're not even on the front page anymore. Gee willikers. That really is a rotten deal. But I'm drinking a 7-Up, by the way. But believe it or not, the war is still going on. The war is definitely taking a change in face, though. We're having kind of a clear-up and round-up type operation, mop-up, more than direct offensive, you know. You know, we're nailing stragglers and trying to talk them into surrendering and this kind of stuff. You'd be surprised. We run through an area with papers. Those Chu Hoi announcements. I ever told you those. All that stuff, that propaganda that I mailed you. We drop those out of the helicopter, say, by the bundles and bundles. And the gooks read that. What they are is they're an invitation to surrender in 6 different languages and, you know, complete with cartoons and everything for those gooks that can't read. But yeah, those are invitations to surrender, and we drop those out and play them music or over loudspeakers from helicopters and stuff like that. Then we come through the next day with B-52 raid, say, and then we go out and paper the area again with more propaganda, this time saying another B-52 raid tomorrow. If you surrender today, we'll take you out of the area before it hits, you know. And boy, they just come over by the flocks. It's a real good system, coupling paper with 750-pound bombs. To give you an idea, one 750-pound bomb makes a hole in the ground big enough to bury 2 Hueys completely, tails and all. One 500-pound bomb is big enough to bury 1 Huey. Give you an idea what a 750-pound bomb is like. They definitely will do a job. But it's really, really good system. Very good system. Of course, we kill a lot of women and kids, but like I said, life's cheap. Life's only valuable to those who love it. And nobody on this side loves any of the gooks. I'm sorry to hear that you didn't get my letter, which I very meticulously cut out poses of girls from Cavalier, Playboy, and Penthouse magazines so you would know exactly what I wanted. Although I can't, I'm trying to remember, I think I might have put that letter in the package, but I can't remember. I know I put a tape in the package, but I can't remember what else is in the package. My TWs and hat and some other junk. It seems to me I put a letter and a tape in there. But the package definitely would take longer than the letters. I don't know how much, but... Oh, speaking of packages, I got yours the other day, yesterday. The one with the Levi's and the ammunition. I think I told you that on the tape I sent you yesterday. But, I'm looking forward to getting some pictures. And if you can't, don't wait for me to send you the poses, sweetheart. Just go out and use your imagination. And just let everything show. Well, everything except maybe everything. But I tell you, you just might as well get ready because I'm taking about 10 rolls of film with me to Hawaii. And I'm going to take the most... well, I won't say the most intimate pictures you've ever seen, but then, of course, you haven't seen very many, so maybe so. I get some black and white film. Have the gooks over here develop anything. No, I shouldn't be mean to you like this, should I? You wouldn't tell me what you thought when you were having your picture taken with no clothes on, huh? Speaking of film, I sent off another roll of film. I decided to give Kodak another chance. But we'll see. I figured maybe that one got mislaid in the mail or something. The one that got me sold, it was 7 weeks late. So we'll see. The cassette that you sent me today was all right, except the one most important part, and that's where you started talking about David and Mary, and that was all muddled and turned way down low, and I couldn't barely hear it. But you've got, I don't know, your recording level, your view meter, recording meter, whatever you want to call it. I think you just better use that thing for checking the batteries, because I know exactly what you do. You turn that thing so that it reads right, and you talk into it real loud and sharply, you know, and then you'll sit back and just go ahead and ramble on and talk like you usually do, and it doesn't even pick it up. So turn the thing all the way up so that it records at a high level. You're not going to hurt a thing in the world, I guarantee you, as long as you don't scream into it. And but on the whole, this tape was better than most of them have been here recently. I'm also going to send you two blank Ampex tapes, and I know you won't have any trouble with these. I would wait and divvy them out to you, you know, just tape them to you. But you never erase any of my tapes and send me back the cassettes. So I'm going to send them to you blank, and you send me a letter on them, and then I'll send you a letter on them. Okay? Okay. And, sweetheart, why don't you take some of the... I know there must be some that aren't really worth saving. Because sometimes I feel like I'm not in a really worth saving mood when I tape them. And tape letters on them and send them to me, all right? Don't keep buying new, more and more cassettes. You must have 50 at home by now, I'm sure. So, surely there must be some that aren't real good. I can see maybe you'd want to save one or two. I save one or two of yours every now and then. Then I get hard up to talk to somebody. I end up taping over. But if you want me to save them, if you'll send me a big reel of tape, I'll put them on that. And a big reel of tape only costs about $2 at a PX. And I can put the slow speed on and I can tape 24 hours worth of cassettes on one $2 reel of tape, using all four tracks, so you'll have it for posterity. And I'll send it back to you, and you can splice it up and chop it up and put it on little 3-inch reels and listen to it on a little 3-inch recorder if you want to. Or something, I don't know. But, I don't know. I love to get letters from you on these things. I'd rather have a new letter, though, than a dozen old ones, actually. I'd rather have one I hadn't heard than a dozen ones that I'd heard. But I guess men aren't as sentimental as women, are they? And you're 100% female, aren't you?